Back in the summer, in recognition of the fact that most poll workers are senior citizens more at risk from COVID-19, boards of elections all over the state began recruiting a younger generation to work the polls. One of the poll workers to answer that call was Patrick Apino, a Saratoga Springs business owner who worked his first election this year. We invited him on the show to discuss why he stepped up and what the experience was like. We spoke with Patrick on Thursday afternoon. So, Pat, there are certain stereotypes about poll workers, like how they're your grandparents, grandparents, or other age-related jokes. What was your impression of poll workers before you became one?
That they were grandparents and grandparents of grandparents. No, I'm kidding, obviously. Obviously, those people do a tremendous service to the electoral process, but I did notice that, you know, there's I don't remember seeing anyone under the age of 50 in all the times I voted, and I've never missed a vote for anything.
When did the idea first enter your head that you could or should be a poll worker, and was it something that occurred to you before this year?
It didn't occur to me until, believe it or not, President Obama exhorted people on Twitter to not just whine on Twitter or Facebook or whatnot, but to get involved in the process. And said, hey, anything you can do. We all have our strengths. Some people are good at phone banking. Some people are good at fundraising. I'm more of an operations guy, so I thought at the very least I could be a poll worker. And, you know, the Board of Elections had also put out emails and pleas for people to work the polls. So I thought that was something I could do that was within my skill set.
And when you finally reached out, what was involved in becoming a poll worker? What was the, I think, training consisting of?
Well, given COVID, all the training went online. The Saratoga County Board of Elections did a really super job by posting the training videos on YouTube. That once they sent me, I emailed them saying, hey, I'd like to be a poll worker. They sent back a form in the mail that said, hey, we'd love you to be a poll worker. To do that, you need to attend these training sessions via a YouTube video. And they gave the link to the video. And just to make sure people saw the videos, within the video themselves, there were code words that you had to watch a section of the video to get to the code word. So when you sent back the mailer that they sent out, you would write down the code word for each section as kind of proof that you did, in fact, go through the training.
Was that all you got before Election Day?
Video training, yes. It was very thorough and very comprehensive. But, you know, something that I never realized was how much is involved in the electoral process. You know, I always thought, how hard can it be? You go in, you fill out a ballot, you shove it in a machine. But there are so many elements to actually voting. You know, you've got affidavit ballots, you've got absentee ballots, you've got provisional ballots. It was really illuminating to see just how much goes into it and how secure the process, at least here in New York State, in Saratoga County, really is. It was fascinating.
So you felt prepared going into Election Day, even though up until that point you hadn't really been, you know, given a chance to like have hands-on experience with like voting machines?
I felt prepared in the sense that I knew there would be someone more senior there that had done it before, which was good. I certainly didn't feel unprepared, but I wasn't 100% confident going in if I was to run the entire process. But a nice woman who had done it for at least 140 years was there, and she was super sweet and super wonderful. When I asked her how many elections she's been doing this, she said she couldn't even remember. But she was excellent and showed me, you know, how we set up the machine, how we deal with the security seals on the machine to ensure that, you know, no votes were on the machine, that votes were being accurately registered. So I was pretty confident. The training videos online were very, very thorough, very well done, and very comprehensive.
Where did you end up getting stationed?
I was at the Ballston Spa Firehouse, to which we probably had 30 or 40 people that came to the wrong. There's more than one firehouse that you could vote in. So in terms of election districts, we were in one of the two or three firehouses in Boston Spa.
I hope there were no emergencies that they had to respond to on election day.
There was one or two calls that they got, and any 70s people out there, now I'm kind of dating myself, but the old emergency series during the 70s, it sounded just like that when calls would come through.
So aside from having to respond to the occasional emergency call, were there any problems that you had to deal with on election day?
None. I mean, other than people coming to the wrong polling place, we had two or three special situations where people vote with what's called an affidavit ballot.
Mm-hmm.
We had one or two situations where someone had come from a different district and asked if they could vote. We then sent them on to the Board of Elections where they have a judge and a person there that can determine their eligibility and whether or not they can vote in that district for that election. But no, we didn't have any problems at all.
You have the opportunity as you sign people in to see what party people are registered with. And I was speaking with another poll worker who did this for the first time, and she found that kind of illuminating. She said, you know, I might have had perceptions about what parties people might have been registered with, and that was kind of shaken a little bit by that sign-in process. Did you have anything like that, whether it was the sign-in process that made you think things differently, or anything else about this experience that made you think differently about the electoral process or just voters in general?
Your friend has a salient point in the sense that everyone that voted, whether Republican or Democrat, I don't recall seeing their particular party affiliation. That might have been on the screen. I didn't look at it. But, you know, for that one day, there weren't Republicans, there weren't Democrats. Everyone that came through seemed just grateful that they had the right and the privilege to vote. It was democracy distilled to its purest form. It was actually very heartwarming and gratifying. You know, there wasn't overt partisanship that I saw, save for the occasional Trump hat or Trump T-shirt. Everyone was very respectful. Everyone was great with the process. There was nothing that went down that really made me sour on the process. It was very heartwarming. And, you know, I thought, wow, this is not how people act on social media when they're live and in person voting. I saw a 90-year-old woman who, walking in the firehouse, fell down, and we were all, like, terrified. We thought we were going to have to get in, and she gathered up her dignity. She got up and she looked up. She said, I am here to vote. I will vote. And it was touching. I saw families bring in their 18-year-olds for their very first vote, and you could see the pride in all of their faces and a little bit of, I don't want to say hesitancy, but, you know, thinking about how big of a responsibility and how that translates to, oh my God, I'm an adult now. You could see that on the 18-year-old faces. It was advanced citizenship in a way. You know, it was like finally saying, hey, I'm a citizen and I'm here to participate in our democracy and not just read about it. That was touching. I saw a man who had either cerebral palsy or some other dreaded disease who spent like 20 minutes just trying to sign in on the voting roll and then fill out his ballot, but he ultimately did it. And for someone under such an affliction to consider that important, it was really touching. It made me think about how precious our republic is and how, in order for it to work, people have to participate in the process.
Would you do the job again?
I can guarantee that I will do this as long as I can now. I am hooked. And, you know, one of my other hats I wear is I'm an umpire. And when I'm an umpire, I tell everyone I am fair and impartial no matter what, whether I can't stand a person or, you know, more succinctly put, I'd throw my own mother out of a ball game. So I am all about fairness and equity. And that umpire and the poll worker role are somewhat analogous.
Well, speaking of that sort of balls and strikes role, the Board of Elections is set up with a binary structure of Democrats and Republicans at every single level as sort of a check on each other. And this extends to the poll watching and the poll workers. What was your thought of that sort of bifurcated setup?
It's funny you say that, because up until Donald Trump was elected, I was a registered Republican. And I was so put off by Mr. Trump's actions in the first, well, first 10 minutes, but the first year of his administration, that I de-enrolled as a Republican and swore to be an independent. As an independent, you don't get a choice. You know, that when you're there as a poll worker, you have to sign on as either a Republican or a Democrat. So I was the Republican watcher, even though technically I'm an independent. I think from a process standpoint, they should have the nomination of independent. Are you a Republican? Are you a Democrat? Are you an independent? And the independent should probably be able to administer both Democrat or Republican. But that's my thoughts on that.
Any other thoughts on how the process could be improved?
Not really. It was very streamlined. I got to give it up to the Board of Elections. I was shocked at how much they had their stuff together. Really. I mean, from getting the machines there and then collecting everything, all the different ballots, packages, and machines at the end of the night, they do a super, super job. So, no, and as a business owner, I'm always thinking, all right, if I was in charge of this, what would I change? How would I do this? And I have to say, I would do it exactly as they did it. I didn't see any real glaring weak spots or any opportunities for improvement. The only issue I saw was we had only one polling tablet. And the polling tablets are essentially iPads that have all the data from the old paper voting rolls in a database on the iPad. I thought we should have had at least one more iPad. I know some locations have them. When I voted early at Gavin Park a couple weeks before, they had 8 or 9 of them at least. Of course, there were many, many, many more people there because they were voting for the whole county. But to have only one iPad or voter roll in a location probably isn't the smartest thing, especially in case that iPad goes down due to a technical difficulty. There should always be at least 2 and a backup. That was my only takeaway in terms of improvement.
Nationally, the president has raised concerns, some of them very just obviously not grounded in reality, and some, you know, might be borne out to be realistic and of merit, about voting concerns, that he thinks there's fraudulent voting happening. And granted, you weren't in the states that these alleged occurrences are happening, but based on your experience in New York and, you know, working with people who do this every year and obviously take it very seriously, what do you think, well, I guess, how do you perceive these allegations from the president? Are you open to them? Based on this experience, I mean, are you receptive to those types of things based on what you've seen and your experience? Or do you think, you know, based on your experience, that this sort of systemic conspiracy that he's alleging is kind of hard to believe?
I'll try to answer it in as non-biased a way as possible, because I think the president, I obviously have some real issues with the president. Now, I think New York runs an exceptionally tight ship. If the other counties in New York run a similar system that the Saratoga County system runs, I think New York is a very tight ship in terms of election integrity, and I'm not worried at all. Now, when you get to other states, I don't know what machines and processes they use. Could there be some level of fraud? Yes, but I think that even if there were, it's highly rare, because it would be front page news. I mean, if you look at the news, the only voting irregularities I've seen thus far over the past 5, 10, 15 years have come from the Republican side of things. I also know that President Trump is 0 for 12 in legal challenges, and it's very difficult for me to believe that any homegrown or local influences had an impact on the outcome of the election in terms of fraud. Now, if nefarious players like Russia or Iran or North Korea were somehow able to hack in the systems, that's above my pay grade. But I think that the fact that Mr. Trump is 0 for 12 in legal challenges at this point and is solidly behind in the states he's contesting, and to say nothing of the number of states he's contesting. If this was 2000 and it was one state that hinged, that the election hinged on, I'd say he had more of a case to pursue. But we're looking at five or six different states now between, you know, Nevada, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin. It would have to be a wholesale fraud on the part of the country for that to happen. And I really don't buy it. I think this is him assuaging his ego and trying to use this as a lever to say, look, I didn't lose. And also, by the way, can you donate a ton of money to my super PAC so I can keep influencing Republicans and elections going forward, as well as pay my legal fees and campaign debts? And if that sounds harsh, I'm sorry, but that's the way I see it.
Well, we've been speaking with Patrick Pepino. He is a Saratoga Springs business owner and worked as a poll worker for the first time in this past election. Patrick, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you, sir.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.